Hey, y'all, I'm Molly Barrows, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Confidential Podcast, where we cover some of the most scandalous crimes and cases that bubble up here in Northwest Florida and well beyond Northwest Florida's borders. Joining me now to talk about these stories is Pam Hill. As y'all know, if you're a regular listener, she's a pharmacist and an advocate for victims. Her sister Sharon Adelot was killed by her son Brandon Adelot in 2013, and it's a case we continue to follow, so Pam has personal experience with some of the issues that creep up in these crazy criminal cases that we talk about. Don't you, Pam?
I do. And when I read these cases and stuff, I never knew all this stuff before. I started reading because I didn't read stuff like this. But these are some wild things going on. We got a dominatrix from Russia, kind of way far away from the Gulf Coast.
I know. Russia and dominatrix. I'm already hooked. I couldn't wait. When you were telling me about this case, and then you mix in there the attempted poisoning through cheesecake.
Yes.
It's an interesting case. And what we're talking about with this episode, it's really hitting on issues of trust, I think, especially for people who claim to be an acquaintance or a friend or maybe someone you think you know, whether they're a business partner or whatever, and you don't really know them at all. So we're calling this episode Murder. It's as easy as pie or cheesecake. Russian dominatrix poisons lookalike. The woman at the center of this bizarre case of attempted murder is 48-year-old Victoria Nazirova. Police in New York City say she gave eyelash stylist 35-year-old Olga Svik a slice of poisoned cheesecake. This was in August of 2016, and then stole her passport and her work permit. Nazirova is from Russia. Svik is from Ukraine, and both speak Russian and also look remarkably similar. So at the time, Svik and Nazirova looked quite similar. Both had dark hair, same skin complexion, pretty eyes, attractive ladies. And New York prosecutors say Nazirova was trying to take advantage of that by killing her lookalike, stealing her cash and identity as well. Mm-hmm. So, Pam, you've been following this. You're the one that told me about it. And all this happened about a year ago when she was convicted.
Right.
Crazy that she tried to poison her. I mean, if I gotta go, cheesecake ain't a bad way to do
I
guess.
Yeah, and just FYI to start this out, this is cheesecake from Krasula's Cheesecake, downtown Pensacola. This cheesecake is made by Angels.
Well, hand it over here so I can take a look at it while you tell me how this all came
to be. This is the cheesecake they serve in heaven. It's so delish.
Cristola's cheesecake.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they have little individual cups.
Oh, she's got big cheesecakes, little cheesecakes, and they're so I don't even like cheesecake.
Well,
but I love this cheesecake.
I tell you what, our listeners can't see this, but our viewers on YouTube certainly can. And there's basically five different little individual cheesecake cups here. And this is what our Russian friend was trying to poison her eyelash stylist
with. Not Krasula's, though.
No, not Krasula's. It was some New York City.
Here's what happened. Victoria, it's kind of, all these names are kind of hard. They got so many consonants in them there, but I'm going to call her Victoria, the dominatrix.
Yes, okay. Victoria the dominatrix.
Victoria the dominatrix. She had false eyelashes also. And Olga Svik, she was an eyelash esthetician.
Okay.
Okay. And so all of a sudden, Victoria decides, and this is part of her plan. She's a good planner. She says, I've got an eyelash emergency.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I mean, like, my goodness.
Is that a thing?
It must be.
She needs to lay down and rest a minute. Yeah.
But anyway, she had an eyelash emergency. So she calls Olga. And that was her lady that did her eyelashes. And she said, I'm not working today. And she's like, please, I'm going on vacay to Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. Please, please, please let me come to your house. Okay. Already Olga's getting some feelings like they're not friends. It's business.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that, because I've seen in some of these headlines that they were like Russian dominatrix poisons friend or and even the judge took her to task. But it sounds like they really didn't have that kind of relationship.
Right. No, I think Olga was probably accommodating. It was like a business relationship, and you tend to not rear back into your customer, patient's face or what have you. So she was just being pleasant, but she really didn't want the lady at her house. She's kind of good about separating business from whatever. So anyway, she came over and she came over with some cheesecake. She said, this is the best cheesecake in the world. It's from someplace in New York.
They say New York cheesecake is amazing.
Right. They do say that, but I don't like it. I like anyway. So they get there and she does her eyelashes and stuff. So she brings her the cheesecake and Olga's really not interested in it right then. There's three little cubes or squares of it. So Victoria eats two of them. And Olga, I think, eats part of another one.
And that was the one that was poisoned.
Right. So Olga ends up going, I don't feel well, about 20 seconds after she eats the cheesecake. So she goes upstairs to her room, and then she doesn't remember anything after that. But here's what happens. Here's where Olga ends up. She's upstairs in her room, and her neighbors hadn't seen her. So they saw the next day a lady bring her soup. Well, that was Victoria coming back to check on her. And what she had done, she had kind of staged a situation. She took Olga, was in her sweatpants, kind of just knocking around clothes, put her in lingerie. All right. Then there's a bunch of pills on the floor and the heater's on because this was in August.
Oh, my gosh.
So the neighbors said, I'm going over there to check on her. So when they came over, that's what they saw. And that was not typical
for Olga. She was passed out in lingerie, surrounded by pills in a hot apartment.
Too hot. And so they took her to the hospital. And she stayed there for 3 days.
Was the dominatrix, Victoria, was she trying to make it look like Olga was committing suicide?
I think that's so. And I think that it was a jealous lover. She threw it all in there. She's like, she's kind of smart in a conniving, evil way, which I don't like to call people like that smart. They're like clever. I reckon. Yeah. So she had done that. And she was in the hospital for 3 days. They did a urinalysis and a CBC, complete blood count, on Olga. No illicit drugs. And they called Olga's sister, Irina, to come over from Russia to check on her sister.
Hmm.
So we got that going on. And so basically, when Olga went back home after the 3 days, she called the police, New York Police Department, said, I'm missing some of my purses. I'm missing some of my valuables. I'm missing some of my ID. And then so she tells the story, the cheesecake story, that this is what happened.
Wow. And so they're like, hey, maybe there's something to this.
Right. Exactly. And then so the NYPD, they came in there and they took the cheesecake clamshell, you know, that plastic looking thing. They took that for evidence. And there were some cheesecake crumbs in there also.
That was the carton that it came in, basically like a, what do they call it, like cupcake holder type
thing. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something that you could see through. So, okay, there was that. Well, Olga's trying to recover, and then Victoria, she's got things to do, okay? So she decides, let me get on this Match.com for Russian-speaking folks.
She is not one to sit idly by.
No, she's not. So she found this guy. His name is Ruben Borakov or something like that.
These are tough names.
His name's Ruben to me.
It doesn't roll off the tongue
naturally.
No, it doesn't.
Right. So they're going back and forth like people do on, I guess, romance sites and stuff. And she goes, everything she does is the best. I mean, the best. All right. So this man's like, well, I'm looking for company. And she is attractive. The lady's pretty.
They're pretty. Both ladies are.
Yeah. So anyway, she says, oh, let me cook for you. Okay. This is all shades of Dubois.
I was about to say, she's like the Russian Black Widow.
It's all shades of that because she's controlling everything.
Well, and women too, I feel like with the settling on the poison way of killing somebody, that just seemed to be a female way of doing things.
It is. But a female way also of doing these things from what I've read, not that I know, is to change it up. You know, they're not going to just do the same.
He didn't get cheesecake.
No, he did not get cheesecake. Well, she came over to his house, and he was smitten by how beautiful she was. And so she made him—
Shocking.
Right.
You mean a man was distracted by a woman's appearance and said, I'll eat whatever you give me?
That's right.
And I barely know you. Do you want my bank account number too? Say it isn't so, Pam.
Well, stop right there, because that's what happened. Okay? Just stop it. And so anyway, she made him some fish, a nice fish dish.
Aww.
And he took one bite. 20 seconds later, he's passed out.
Wow.
And in the hospital. And so he's out for like 2 days. And she's kind of, she took his American Express card, his valuables, things like that. And I think she decided, well, this ain't a good date. She said, I'm taking him back to his work. He owned dry cleaners, and she took him to the cleaners. Okay?
Oh, my gosh. That was just a match made in heaven or hell, I guess.
Right? She took him back to his dry cleaners there, and his employees are going, what in the world? This beautiful lady, he can't even stand up. She just kind of throws him in there. The employees go, oh, my goodness. They're like, what's going on? So they try to take care of him. While they're taking care of him, she's up in the cash register getting money out of the cash register because she's fixing to piece out of there. They called his sister, too, to come take care of him. So we got this going on. We got the cheesecake. Now we got the fish going on here.
So she's not letting the grass grow under her feet.
Mm-mm.
And it sounds like she actually try to kill? I know she was convicted of attempted murder for the eyelash stylist. I wonder, was she actually trying to kill them, or does she just want to like take them out long enough to steal what she wants?
I think with the lady, Olga, I think she wanted to like incapacitate her or make her unconscious or what have you to take her identification.
And her work visa.
Right, right. Because this is Victoria's job. Apparently, this is how she makes it.
She's a scam artist.
Right. She knows she can come back and forth from Russia to the United States, too. So,
okay.
When she's in Russia, that's where she was most of the time. This story keeps going. We've got one person. We've got Olga, the eyelash lady in the cheesecake.
In New York City.
Right. We've got Reuben, the dry cleaners. That was taken to the cleaners.
Okay. He was also in America, right?
Yeah.
In the New York area.
It's all in New York. There's this area in New York that is a lot of Russian people, or I think it's called Sheep's Head Bay.
Okay.
In an area they speak Russian. I imagine that's pleasant and fun.
Sure.
And nice and makes you feel
familiar.
Yeah.
People that share your culture.
Right. So I think that's where they all were, kind of. All right. So— Now, so what's coming up is there's another lady in New York. Her name's Nadia Ford. Well, she can't find her mother back over in Russia. And she talked to her mother often,
Aww.
Way often. And her mother's name was Alla, I see her name was Alisinko. Okay, so Alla Alisinko. And so she's finding out, her mom says, hey, I've got this new friend and I love her so much. She shows up. We go do these things I like to do and this, that, and the other. Well, I'm pretty sure you can guess at this point who this friend is.
Oh, Lord, Victoria the Dominatrix.
It's Victoria the Dominatrix. So she befriends this lady who's further along in life, who has some nice things and is by herself, kind of lonely because her daughter's over here in the United States. So that's going on. So Nadia just happens to live sort of near where Olga and Reuben live, because it's a bunch of folks living in Sheepshead Bay that are Russian.
Truly a small world.
Definitely. So anyway, all this stuff goes on. And so Olga's very, very upset about this going on, but she's kind of like, what can I do? But the lady who can't find her mother, she is a little hellraiser. She's like, I ain't stopping for nothing. Y'all are going to find my mother. And this is what I'm going to do. So she starts this plan to find out about her mother. And it somehow Olga finds out about it and goes, that kind of sounds similar to me type of thing. So anyway, as time goes on, Olga and Nadia become friends.
They connect and they share stories.
Right. About Victoria. So all that's going on. And Victoria is like, y'all are just crazy or what have you. But she disappears. Right. So Nadia must have a little more money than the other folks. So she hires a guy named Weisberg, and he's a detective or a private eye, like independent. So he goes, I'm going to find this girl. You know, nobody knows where to look for her. You know? So he gets on her Facebook. He looks on her Facebook and he sees, oh, OK, I see a lot of your likes are coming from Sheep's Head Bay. And then she took a little selfie. She put her little sunglasses on, little mirror glasses on. And so he's looking at that, too. He sees that selfie in there. He sees some stuff in the reflection of her glasses and the picture. He sees the stitching.
It's like a film noir. How cool is that?
It's going to be on Netflix. I know that. It just is.
Wow.
So he's looking at behind in the picture there. He sees the stitching on this car. And it's a fine type of stitching. You know, it's like it's luxurious. So he goes, let me look this up. This guy's so smart. I want to be his friend.
No kidding.
You know, just hang out with him. So he does that. He starts looking. And he goes, that kind of stitching is only on one certain car, a Chrysler 300.
Wow.
And so he goes, let me see what I got going on here. Sheep's Head Bay, a Chrysler 300, and I can tell the interior's black. So what he does, he goes to Sheep's Head Bay and he matches up some of the apartments in the back of the selfie to there. He's looking.
He's like CIA.
I love him. Wow. He's better than Jethro Gibbs. You know, Jethro Gibbs is my boyfriend.
That's right.
My boyfriend's Jethro. But anyway, so he does all that. And he's over there peeking in cars and stuff. And finally, some people on their stoops are like, hey, what are you doing?
Why are you peeking in cars?
Right. And he just goes, well, hey, do you know Victoria Nazarova, or however you say her name?
I think that was it.
Yeah. It sounded all right. And then they said, yeah, actually we do. That's her boyfriend right there.
Oh.
And they hated her because she had killed her boyfriend's beagle because she got mad at him and had been stealing his stuff.
Wow.
So they're like, they're going to take him to her. Okay. So they find her. And so then that goes on to where Weisberg calls the New York Police Department and tells them, here's where you can go find Victoria. And so they go, okay. So they go there, and let's think back what they took. They took the clamshell for the cheesecake.
Right, the baking cup thing?
Mm-hmm. They took that. Victoria's DNA is on the clamshell.
Okay.
And they test the crumbs in there. And the crumbs have what is called phenazepam. And so phenazepam, any drug you hear that ends in a pam, like my name.
Yes.
You know, temazepam, diazepam, alprazolam, or pam like that.
Is that clozapam too?
Yeah, clonazepam. Yeah. Those are in the category of drugs called the benzodiazepines. And they're usually to help anxiety and to push that down a little bit. That's what we use them for.
Or muscle spasms of sorts.
Mm-hmm, it could be used for that. It could be used for many things, but mostly anxiety or edginess. So, all right, we're looking at that and we're like, phenazepam. All right, that's only in Russia. That drug's only in Russia.
Oh, wow. Okay. Boy, she sure left quite the breadcrumb trail,
didn't she? Yeah. And it was more stupefying, as they call it, and sedative more than any of the ones I talked about that we use over here. Ours are what we call quick-acting, and they're in and out of your system quickly. That's why you have to use them several times a day sometimes. But this long-acting stuff, and listen to the brilliance of this. This little crazy, she kind of became a pharmacist for a minute. She said, this drug does better when things are hot, you know, in the environment. That is why the heat was turned on in Olga's room up there.
Wow.
So that drug
to create conditions that it would make it work better.
Right. So she creates the perfect storm. So that is where we are with that.
Interesting. Well, how did they ever find out what happened to the woman's mother, the one that had disappeared in Russia?
They're still doing investigation on that. But sadly enough, they found her body. It had been charred and very disrespected, burned. She killed her, basically, or allegedly killed her. So,
but they do believe that Victoria is the one that killed her mom, too, I guess. And they think she took her life savings as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. I mean, she has nothing. Nadia went back to Russia and she just saw nothing was left of her mother. She didn't want anything of her mother's. She wanted her mother.
Of course.
You know, And Nadia's so strong. And this is how God puts things together. Nadia is so strong and more outspoken and has that stiff back and shoulders that
convicted.
Yeah. And Olga was a little more timid. She was mad, granted.
But part of you is probably like, did this lady really come over and poison me with cheesecake?
Right.
Yeah, she might have stolen my stuff, but yeah, it'd be tough to push for that,
right,
really.
Right. And see, where Nadia lived, Victoria wasn't but 5 or 6 blocks away from her the whole time. So they're all clustered up there. But Nadia became friends with Olga and sat with Olga through. This took 6 years to get her from her cheesecake incident
in 2016. Yeah.
To be in, to have the charges done.
Yeah, she wasn't convicted till 2023,
right.
February of 2023.
Right. Hadn't even been a year, I don't think. About a year.
Right.
And so Olga and Nadia sat there together and she helped her. Nadia helped her through everything, kept her strong. She had someone to speak Russian with that she could tell these intimate stories to. You can't just go telling people stuff.
Right.
You know, she couldn't for many reasons, but so they came along it together. So, you know, they put Victoria got found guilty. She pled not guilty, of course, but she was guilty. And so now the case, she's going to serve 21 years here. She's already served 6, so she gets credit for that. And then she has 5 or 6 years probation or something like that. Then she gets deported back to Russia, and she will face charges on Miss Alisenko.
For her murder,
mm-hmm.
potentially. Wow, that's interesting. I did read up on her sentencing, and they said that when Nazarova was sentenced to 21 years, that she, quote-unquote, hurled an expletive at the judge.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of made me giggle, because it did sort of remind me, again, in so many ways, of Judy Buonanno. I feel mm-hmm. like this is, you know, and if you haven't seen that, there's another episode we've called I'll Do the Cooking. And it's on a Gulf Coast serial killer, Judy Buonanno, who basically poisoned her own child. She poisoned poisoned men in her life, all for money, probably set a couple of places on fire for money as well. So it sounds like she worked very similarly to Judy. Mm-hmm. People are disposable. People are here for mm-hmm. for my purposes. And she found people that, you know, where they needed someone, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're a client or this woman that was lonely or a man that was looking for a date, she would fill the bill. And then as soon as she had them where she wanted them, she would take advantage.
Oh, yeah. Well, and she smirked and smiled like everyone these other psychopaths do when they're talking about it or sentenced or something. I mean, she was something else. She said, I didn't make her eat the cheesecake, you know, like that. She went right back to that. I mean, she's like brazen, diabolical,
yeah.
you know, and then she tells them during an interview or something, someone like you interviewing her, she said, hey, I'm not a killer. I'm just a woman, like that, you know, and I thought, okay, you little crazy.
Other women see you, lady.
Yeah, right.
I see,
but that might work on that guy there. But, you know, so anyway, she's got all that going on, too. And now that she's in prison, she was at Rikers Island. And at Rikers, she got up there. She's just not a person that fits in well and plays well with others.
Right. Okay. It's always got to be about her, I imagine.
Right. So at Rikers, she got some of them fired up over there, some of the inmates. Well, three or four of them, and I don't like this, three or four of them beat her up. I mean, like, broke her nose, hit her in the eye, this, that, and the other. And the guard just stood there. And she said her can of mace was out when Victoria started yelling for help. Well, as things go, as litigious as society is, even an inmate, she filed a $5 million lawsuit against the city and against corrections and against Rikers or whatever.
For not stepping in and helping.
Right. Right, and letting it happen to her. She got $325,000.
Oh, my gosh. I believe it.
Yeah, she got that. So, I mean, that was that. But then they move her to some other prisons, I think, that are a little more accommodating, like correctional facilities. And now, guess what she does now?
I heard 3D drawings.
Yeah, she does art. And she says, just like everything else, she said, mine's the best. She said, in my not-so-humble opinion, I cannot stand here and not tell y'all, mine's the best.
Well, I did find an article about that, the New York Post, where mm-hmm. She was doing an interview with one of their reporters, and she said, quote unquote, my so-called signature work is letters of people's names with butterflies and other things. And she said that she basically started doing it because, you know, she enjoyed traveling and culture, and there just wasn't anybody to talk to about that. So she had to entertain herself with this pastime and this hobby because there was no one else to discuss all these wonderful, right. you know, exciting culture, travel, art. Projects mm-hmm. that she wanted to do. So she goes, quote, I don't want to sound like I'm better than others, although in some ways I am. But to find a person on your intellectual level, it's hard to find people here that I can really communicate with. I want to talk about art, culture, travel, books, she says. And as a result, she's on edge all the time.
Right.
So God love her.
Yeah.
Get, you know, here she is, though, still suing people, still finding a way to stay the center of attention.
Right. Separate from them and be better than. And then she was upset. I don't know if you read this part, but she was upset because they just simply in that prison do not have enough fresh fruits and vegetables for her taste. And like you said, she's like, there's too many daggum dummies around here. I ain't got nobody to talk to, you know? And she's like, that's what she said. I'm on edge. How about take some finazepam?
Right, exactly.
Of your own.
or ask for cheesecake.
Yeah, that's true. That's
for dessert one of these days. But yeah, those were my takeaways from this is just, hey, you just never know, really. When people don't think like that, when people aren't diabolical and they're not measuring up everyone in their life as to how they can be taken advantage of and used to their nefarious purposes, it's hard to imagine that someone is in your life that would do anything like that. Give you a poison piece of cheesecake or a poison piece of fish or take advantage of an older woman who was lonely. That's just, it's hateful and it's cruel and it's evil.
It's just so unreal. But you know what I take away from some of these when I look at them? When the police found Victoria, they found handbags that belonged to Olga and her IDs and her rings and a whole bunch of other stuff. And they found some of Mrs. Alisenko's stuff.
Oh,
that
well.
That made me sad.
I know. And that would just break my heart for her daughter as well. But it is a blessing that she and Olga found each other. Mm-hmm. Nadia mm-hmm. and Olga.
Yeah.
It's amazing
yeah.
that they did find each other and that they were able to compare notes and that she was smart enough too, the daughter of the woman that disappeared and they later found dead, to hire a private investigator mm-hmm. and a smart one at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who did the work and basically put it before PPD, you know, or at least led them to her door. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to put their case together. And thankfully, she kept a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. She did. And when there's a guy or a girl or somebody like that that just won't let go, you know, we've talked about these cases where a prosecutor just wouldn't let go, mm-hmm. or a family member won't let go or something like that. When something's wrong, we have to say it's wrong, because silence is always on the side of the oppressor. And if we don't look at these things, you know, good men and women don't try to change things, then we're just going to be stuck in this vortex. But this guy, Weissman, he's my hero.
Oh, my gosh. I agree. Thank you so much, Pam. I appreciate you sharing the crazy details of this case with us.
You're welcome.
And thank you for joining us. That's it for Murder. It's as easy as pie or cheesecake. Russian dominatrix poisons look alike. We appreciate you joining us here on Gulf Coast Confidential. I'm your host, writer, and producer, Molly Barrows, with co-host and researcher, Pam Hill. And a big thanks, as always, to director, editor, and production engineer, James Roy. And remember, you can always listen to more Gulf Coast Confidential conversations wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And you can also watch on the Gulf Coast Confidential YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And we'll see you next time.